Yeah, fear has told us some whopper of lies, hasn't it? And as we unpack this particular item from our suitcase today, I want us to think a moment what kinds of fears are in your bag. So Charlie Brown asked Snoopy, "What are you doing in here? Don't tell me you're afraid of things that go bump in the night. I'm not afraid of anything that goes bump in the night. What shakes me up are those things that go arg." Yeah, some of us just have bumps. Other things make us scream. So put yourself in Snoopy's doghouse. What things make you go arg? What things scare you? As you unpack your suitcase of fear, what are you unpacking? This person says, "I'm afraid, as a kid, a whale coming out of the faucet and crushing me in the bathtub." How many else of y'all were ever afraid of going down the drain when the plug was pulled? Those old-fashioned plugs, I remember those. "I had a Barney doll, and once the batteries started to run low, it sang, 'I love you,' in a demonic voice. I remember sitting across from it, crying." That is just really sad and funny and cruel at the same time. So what is in your suitcase of fear, of things that make you go og? We posed that question on our Facebook page this past week, and some of the responses were things like thunderstorms, the dark, Brussels sprouts, put cheese on them and it takes the fear away, tornadoes, monsters under the beds. Somebody said toilets. I don't understand that. I hope you're okay. And this is a sad one, and this leads us to our topic today. Somebody said my stepdad. Somebody said my dad's belt. I'm kind of right there. And then this is really sad. My dad being angry. And that goes with our topic today, because I want to talk about our divine parent, God. I grew up in the South, and in the South, I heard this phrase quite a bit, a God-fearing man. It comes from places like this in Scripture. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But remember that the Lord all-powerful is holy. He is the one you should fear. He is the one you should dread. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." So in the context in which I grew up, someone who was God-fearing was someone presumably with wisdom, who knows better than to sin, or for that matter, who knows better to avoid doing things that PO the Almighty. Now, I'm all for people making choices that reflect wisdom, and not doing things that are expressions of narcissistic sin. But I also grew up with the idea of this God being someone to fear. I very well remember sitting in the easy chair in the parsonage of First Baptist Church in Poplar Bluff with my dad, who was leading me in saying the prayer. I was 7 years old. The prayer to ask Jesus into my heart. And to be honest with you, I was not asking Jesus into my heart because I loved God or because I wanted to live a life of love. I was asking Jesus into my heart because I was afraid that if I, as a 7-year-old, died without having my sins forgiven, then God would send me to hell. As a 7-year-old. Now, this idea of a scary God, a God to be feared, was reinforced in my world time and time again. Even in cartoons. I remember in junior high, I lived in Joplin when I was in junior high, and I was introduced to Chick Track, C-H-I-C-K, named after a guy whose last name was Chick. Here's a picture of him right there. And there's a part of the one page out of one of his tracts. He wrote in this tract, this girl saying to this guy, they led us into stuff we found in the Harry Potter books, tarot cards, Ouija boards, crystal balls. Samantha, the Potter books open a doorway that will put untold millions of kids into hell. Yeah, the chick people are still writing tracts. Now, when I was in junior high, I was just enamored with these tracts. They were very colorful as far as their storyline. They were all in black and white, but colorful as far as their graphic. And they always ended, I don't think there's an exception to this, with everybody but a fundamentalist Christian being hurled to hell by this angry, scary, white, giant, faceless God. I knew this angry, faceless God. That was our God. And I was scared of that God. I mean, who wouldn't be scared of that God? Now think about it, in the world in which I grew up, if you don't believe just the right thing, this omnipotent giant will consign you to eternal torture. Another image from the chick track. Doggone it, I got a fast finger, don't I? You were wrong, Satan says. You did not accept Jesus Christ as your own Lord and personal Savior. That'll scare you down the aisle, won't it? That was our main vacation Bible school lesson right there. Now, fortunately, I could believe in Jesus and be saved from Jesus' angry dad. But then one day I heard a preacher say this. Ask the question, did you believe Jesus in your head or did you believe Jesus in your heart? And then he said this, if you only believe Jesus in your head, then you're going to miss heaven by 18 inches. I don't even know what that means. Oop, there goes heaven. I missed it by 18 inches. What does it mean to believe Jesus in my head but not in my heart? That's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. So then I had to worry, am I believing Jesus in my heart or am I going to go to hell? Because I'm only believing him with my head. Now that same message was communicated in softer ways in my world. When men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone. A.W. Tozier, he's a good guy. My mother and dad had so many books by A.W. Tozier. When men don't fear God, they give themselves to evil. This was the theme of my Christianity. This was the culture of it. This was the atmosphere of it. Now, we all want to believe that our religion is based on love, grace, and truth. But I got to ask you, if your religion was like mine, do you think it was really based on fear? I know we say that God loves us, but it's always followed by a but. God loves us, but if we don't believe the right thing, if we don't accept him, then he will send us to hell. Let me in. Why? So I can save you from what? From what I'm going to do if you don't let me in. That's kind of true. It just doesn't make sense. So God loves me. but he's willing to torture me for eternity. Is that really love? Daniel and Devin, those are our two boys. I love you. But because my love is perfect and my ways are higher than your ways, if you get out of line, I'm going to set you on fire. When we begin our Christian life or our spiritual life with fear, it's hard to get out of that fear. We're stuck in scared. This fear creeps into every part of our life, and even when we try to live within boundaries, we do so not because those boundaries are healthy or good for us, or because those boundaries are expressions of love. We do that because we're afraid that if we get outside of those boundaries, God's going to punish us, slap our wrist, or send us to hell. That fear does this to us, that when something bad happens to us, a health situation, a tragedy with a family member, even who may have been killed, so something horrific. But when something bad happens to us, those of us who have been raised in fear have this sneaking suspicion that we've messed up, and this bad thing, that's the consequences. And this, we've made God mad, and now God is punishing us. Stuck and scared. The Old Testament says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm afraid that those of us who began with fear continue in fear. So, fear works. I mean, fear can motivate you. And that's why preachers peddle it and politicians push it. We go to war because of fear. We go to church because of fear. Some people stay in abusive relationships because of fear. But is the fear of God the best way to live? Does fear bring me close to God, or does fear push me away from God? Normally, we run away from things that scare us. Except that girl, did y'all see the news last week about that girl who pushed a bear away off of her patio who was harassing her dogs? She ran toward the bear. There's always a fine line between stupidity and courage. But, you know, applaud that girl. But this is me, this guy. That's what I would do. We run away from things we're scared of. And if I'm to fear God, I don't want to go close to God. Now, some preachers will say, well, fear is necessary. Fear is good, and it is. Because fear will keep you from getting bit by that rattlesnake or torn to pieces by that bear or swallowed by an alligator. And that's exactly right. But God's not a rattlesnake. God's not a bear. God's not an alligator. Can a healthy relationship, human relationship, begin with fear? I don't think so. Can a spiritual relationship begin with fear? I don't think so. Now, I know, preachers spin it. We're good. And preachers have been spinning this for a lot of centuries. Well, the fear that Proverbs talks about is not terror. It's not fear of an alligator. It's respect. It's reverence. But is it? The Hebrew word translated fear is used over 300 times. in the Old Testament, and it's always translated fear. Now, sometimes the context might lead you to translate it or interpret it as respect. But again, it's an interpretation. It's not a translation. The writer to the Hebrews was talking about Moses having a fear of God to where his legs were trembling. He was so scared, his legs were trembling. I don't think that's how I wanted Devin and Daniel as little children to approach their dad with their lips quivering and their legs trembling. How does the fear of God that we read in Proverbs relate to this? There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know, John the Apostle has a whole lot in common with John the Beetle. There are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. The people in the therapy world and the psychology world tell us that fears or anger is one of those secondary emotions, and fear is one of those primary emotions, that we become angry because we're fearful. The fear serves as a basis for other negative emotions. So fear is the root, and then anger and hate and murder can be the fruit of that fear. We kill what we are afraid of. Yes, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. If a guy is a little put out with his wife because she's texting at nighttime, and he's a little bit irritated, maybe a little bit angry with her for texting so much or being on social media in the evening, maybe the anger and the irritation is coming from fear. The fear that, well, she'd rather talk with them than with me. She'd rather spend time with them than time with me. It's not so much about the anger as it is about the fear and the insecurity. So how does this fear fit with the spirituality of Christianity? I'm ready for Christmas. I'm always ready for Christmas. And let's get our Christmas carols going and our Christmas decorations up for the next few minutes and go back to that night outside of Bethlehem. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, they did not scold us, "You just wait until your dad gets home." Do you remember what the angels said? "Do not be afraid." An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel said to them, wonder why they were so terrified. Well, I would be probably. You don't see an angel every day like that. But I think in that culture, whenever a messenger of God showed up, it was never good news. Scary. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people." Good news. Great joy. Have we missed that? The Christian story, if you trace it to the birth of Jesus, begins with, "Do not be afraid." Jesus was introduced to the planet with the phrase, "Do not be afraid." So why is it that preachers introduce God to people with the phrase, be afraid. That the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The angel said, here is Jesus, the Savior, the Lord. Don't be afraid. God is not here to smite you. God is here to put a smile on your face. Because this is good news of mega joy. This is not good. Rather, this is not news of fear. This is news of joy. But my gosh, once we begin in fear, like I did in my childhood, it's very hard not to fall back into fear. Maybe that's why Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear. You know, slaves are afraid of their masters. They obey the master because of fear, out of fear, the fear of the consequences of not. This isn't in the notes. It just popped in my head. Jesus told the disciples, I no longer call you servants. I no longer call you that. I no longer see you that. I don't see you as servants, people who have to obey because that's your job. But I call you friends. Do you hear Jesus telling you that today? I call you my friend. And then we go this, but, Paul says, you received Matt and Josh and Ella, the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Dad. Paul is painting a picture of this father in front of whom our knees do not shake and our lips do not quiver. A dad in front of whom we do not protect ourselves from his wrath. The slavery, the fear is gone, and we approach this divine parent as a Abba, Father. So what do we do with those Old Testament passages on fear? Well, in that culture, people related to their gods through sacrifices, and it was a way to buy God off, to appease God. God's mad at me, so I've got to give him these sacrifices so he won't be mad at me anymore. Their relationship was based on fear, and it's a toxic relationship. Oh, be nice to your dad so he doesn't get mad. Is that the divine parent? Even in the Bible, we see a trajectory of how to view God. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. I don't want the sacrifices. He's told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God? So you may have begun, like I, with fear, but do you have to continue with fear? Can we today move from being a fear God, a God-fearing person, to a God-loving person? And according to these passages, a God-loving person is a person of spirituality, whose spirituality is love and kindness and justice and an intimate knowledge of God, not a fearful approach to God, but an intimacy with God. It sounds very contemplative, doesn't it? When a person's image of God is grounded in fear, I don't know if that person can really fully love God or himself, or his neighbor, much less his enemy. When our image of God is grounded in fear, everything is to be afraid. When our image of God is grounded in love, we reflect the love of God, and we are more capable of loving others. God is love, John wrote in that very same letter. So today, let's change from fear God to fear Godzilla. I know, that is such a dad joke, isn't it? But it is really funny. And I hope that today was to you like this cat is to this dog. My dog was terrified of the fireworks, so my cat went and cuddled up with her. My heart is crying still. Cuddle up with God. Put away the fear. You're an adopted child. And as much as Matt and Josh love Ella, I think the divine parent loves you even more. Ella is not afraid of Josh and Matt. And I don't need to be afraid of God.